You are listening to Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next. On this episode of Long Innings, we take a look at great performances in the World Cup.
As of the 30th of May, the Men's 50 Overs World Cup has kicked off, and teams have been vying to take what is viewed as the most prestigious honour in world cricket at this time. Now, many a cricketer, most notably Tendulkar, has stated that it was his lifelong dream to win a World Cup. Many players, in fact, have stepped up their performances during a World Cup, and some of these performances have gone down in history as some of the most outstanding individual performances in the game. On this podcast, we take a look at some of those moments from World Cup history. Kapil Dev's 175 versus Zimbabwe in the World Cup of 1983. Now, this is considered by many to be the most defining ODI knock ever, certainly for the Indians, because till the 1983 World Cup, Indians were really non-entities in the world ODI game with a dismal ODI record and no performance to speak of in the two preceding World Cups. But in 1983, things seemed a bit different when they won their first match of the group stage by beating the West Indies. So by the time we got to the match against Zimbabwe, it really was a must-win game for the Indians. It started off poorly for them though, in cold conditions with the ball moving around, and soon they found themselves at 9 for 4 and then 17 for 5. Now, that is when the Kapil Dev show started. He smashed 14 fours and 6 sixes in dominating fashion to score the 175 number all of us remember and take the team score to 266. It proved enough for the team to defend. What that innings also did was to lift the team's spirit and give it a sense of belief that it could win from any position. Now, it also bode well for what was to follow in the rest of the tournament, and from looking like getting out for 70-80 against Zimbabwe, the team went on to defend 183 in the final, and thus began, we dare say, the love affair of Indians with cricket. Making a statement in the finals, Clive Lloyd, Vivian Richards, Ricky Ponting and Adam Gilchrist. There is scoring a century, and then there is scoring a century batting in a World Cup final. It is the dream of many players to score a century in a World Cup final, to lead their team to victory in a World Cup final, and these are the men who've achieved it in commanding fashion. With Lloyd, who by the way got 102 of 85 deliveries in 1985, and Richards in 1979, who got 138 of 157 deliveries, showed just why the West Indies were the dominant force in the 70s and 80s and took the game away from the opposition. Ponting did the same to India in 2003. 140 of 121 deliveries, and Gilchrist repeated the dose against Sri Lanka 4 years later, 149 of 104 balls. Gilchrist scored the fastest century in an ODI final, getting to his 100 of only 72 balls. The Wasim Show, World Cup Final 1992. Wasim Akram is not just a modern great, but would make the all-time World 11 of many of his contemporaries, and that really shows just how he was viewed by his peer group. He was a wily character and could move the ball at pace. Being a left-arm fast bowler made him a rare commodity as well. He could also hammer the ball when he was in the mood. And boy, was he in a mood in the 1992 final against England. When his team was batting, he came in down the order and smashed a quick-fire 33 of just 18 balls to help his team put up a score of 249, and later picked up 3 wickets to help his side defend the total. His wickets of Lamb and Lewis of successive deliveries broke the back of the England chase. Jayasurya and Kalu's Smash Machine, 1996. The starts that these two openers gave their teams in the 1996 World Cup gave nightmares to opposing captains, not just scoring well, but scoring at strike rates well over 100 throughout, something unknown in 1996. It took the game away from the opposition in a hurry, as it did against India and Kenya in the group stages and against England in the quarterfinals, so much so that Jayasurya was voted the man of the tournament for his aggressive, unprecedented approach to batting and useful bowling. Arvinder's twin man of the matches in the semis and finals of 1996. It was the first and only time yet when a player received the man of the match in both the semi and the final of a World Cup. In the semi-final against India, after losing 2 quick wickets, it was Arvinder's counter-attack that got the Sri Lankans right back in the match and rattled the Indians. He scored 66 runs of just 47 deliveries to take the initiative back for his side, and Sri Lanka eventually put up a winning total of 251 on a dodgy Eden Garden pitch. Then, in the final, he scored an unbeaten match-winning century, 107 actually, to take his side home, chasing a tricky 241 against Australia in the final in Lahore. It was and remains the only century to have been scored batting second in a final. Ganguly and Dravid shine on the world stage, 1999. In the 90s, the Indian batting side was all about Sachin Tendulkar. If a good score was to be put up, Sachin had to score big. If a big score was being chased, Sachin had to score big. But in the late 90s, Ganguly and Dravid started to become the players they would turn out to be, future greats of Indian and world cricket. They put on a batting display against Sri Lanka in a group match at Taunton. Ganguly hit sixers at will to smash seven of them to score 183 of just 158 balls. And Dravid, who was the aggressor early on in their partnership, scored 145 of 129 balls. They scored a partnership of 318 runs, which was a world record at the time. Zulu has a time of his life, 1999. Think of Lance Klusener and the 1999 World Cup comes to mind. He had a standout performance to be named the player of the tournament. It was not just the runs he scored or the wickets he took, but the manner in which he played that really made him stand out. He became the crisis man of the team during the tournament, bailing them out of tricky situations on many an occasion. In the very first match he played in the tournament, he scored 12 runs in the three balls he faced. That set the template for a tournament where he scored 281 runs at an amazing strike rate of over 120 and an average of over 140. He also took 17 wickets at an average of 20.57. He bagged four Man of the Match awards and three of them in succession, where he bailed his side out of trouble against Sri Lanka, England and Kenya. In the Super 6 match against Pakistan too, he scored an invaluable 46 to take his side home in a tricky chase. Steve Waugh, when it mattered, 1999. After a poor start to the tournament, Australia needed to win all their Super 6 matches to get through to the semis. In their final Super 6 match against South Africa, they were chasing a daunting 272 for victory against a quality South African attack, and the team found itself at 48 for 3 in the 12th over, with a man in form, Mark Waugh, out. It was time for a Steve Waugh special, who, first in the company of Ponting and later with Bevan and Moody, just kept the runs flowing and compiled a gritty 120 of just 110 balls to take his team over the line. He followed it up with a 56 in the semi-final, forming a crucial partnership with Michael Bevan, the pair coming together with the score at 68 for 4. Unheralded success. Ashish Nehra, Andy Bickell and Andrew Simons in 2003, Gary Gilmore in 1975. It's always great to watch bit part players take the center stage and have the limelight all for themselves for a while. And when it happens during the World Cup, it's all the more special. Ashish Nehra and Andy Bickell were never really the pace spearheads for their teams. In the 2003 World Cup, Nehra was behind Zach and Srinath as a third seamer for India, and Bickell was a support for McGrath and Lee. But they both had a moment to shine. Nehra displayed rare speed, control and movement against England to pick 6 for 23 runs and led his team to a win. Bickell did one better by picking up 7 for 20 runs against the same opposition to restrict them to 204. He then also did his part with a bat, coming in at the fall of the 8th wicket at 135 and scored an unbeaten 34 of only 36 balls, keeping Michael Bevan good company. Andrew Simons was a player that the Australian team took a punt on to come good. He was chosen in the team when the likes of Steve Waugh were kept aside. He responded in kind in the very first match of the tournament for Australia, coming into bat at 86 for 4. He hit an unbeaten 143 of just 125 balls to steer his side to a match-winning total of 310 against Pakistan. Decades earlier, in 1975, in the very first tournament, Gary Gilmore of Australia put paid to any chance that England had of winning the cup on home soil in the semi-finals by picking up 6 for 14 in 12 overs to help dismiss the English for 93 and pave the way for his side to win the match. But his side was soon tottering at 6 for 39. In reply, when he came into bat, he scored a handy 28 of 28 deliveries to see his side home. He played very well in the final as well, picking up a fifer. The Malinga 4 in 2007. Lasith Malinga was always a difficult proposition for batters with his slingy action, but the match that enhanced his reputation was the one against South Africa in 2007. South Africa were cruising to victory at 206 for 5 in 44 overs in reply to Sri Lanka's 209. Malinga bowled the 45th over and bowled Sean Pollock with the 5th delivery of the over. He dismissed Andrew Hall in the very next delivery. Thus, when he began the 47th over, he was on track for a hat-trick and South Africa on 207 for 7, just 3 runs shy. He got callous in the first delivery of the over to take that hat-trick and did not stop there. He yorked Makaya Ntini in the very next delivery to take 4 in 4. Now, South Africa needed 3 runs with 1 in hand. They somehow held on to score the winning runs, but Malinga walked away with his reputation enhanced. Kevin O'Brien does it for Ireland and the Associates, 2011. The Ireland team had punched above its weight by getting to the Super 8s of the 2007 edition by knocking Pakistan out. They were hungry for a big scalp in the 2011 World Cup as well. The big moment came for them against England. England batted first and compiled an imposing 327, and the Irish were tottering at 111 for 5 when in walked O'Brien. While most felt the result was a mere formality, he had other ideas. He smashed the fastest century in all World Cups of just 50 deliveries, smashing 6 sixes and 13 fours to finally score 113. Keeping him company was Alex Cusack, who scored 47. It was a great innings given the situation he found his team in when he walked in and given that England was one of the favourites for the tournament. The UWI Cup 2011. Yuvraj Singh had dreamt World Cup in 2011 and he shined with both the bat and the ball for his team and had the good fortune to be at the crease when the World Cup winning runs were scored. He scored 362 runs in the tournament at an average of over 50 with one century against West Indies and 450s, and he took 15 wickets in the tournament at an average of 25 and one fifer in it. He scored his century against West Indies coming into bat with India struggling at 2 for 51 and scored important knocks against England, Ireland and the Netherlands, and scored a match-winning 57 against Australia in the quarterfinals. All this when, even unknown to him at the time, he was suffering from cancer. Off to doubles 2015. The game had moved a long way in 2015 and there were field restrictions which allowed for only 4 men outside the circle in the last 10 overs. Now this allowed for batters to go berserk in the last 10 and for huge scores to be piled up. The rule has since been revoked, but it did help batters who were set by the time the 40th over came around to make merry. Chris Gayle certainly did and became the first man to score more than 200 runs in a match in the World Cup. He did that against Zimbabwe in Feb of 2015 when he scored 215 with 6 sixes and 10 fours. Just under a month later, his score was surpassed by Martin Guptill of New Zealand, who scored 237 against the West Indies with 24 boundaries and 11 sixes. So those were some of those outstanding individual contributions in World Cup, and we can only wait and see what lies ahead in the 2019 edition. Thank you for listening.
This podcast was brought to you by Cricket Next. Thanks for tuning in.